Coming to you live from the corner of Dream Street and Guffaw Avenue, it's the Nate Darling Show with Becca Costello, Ted Sampson, and Christiana D. Now jaywalking his way into your heart, here's Nate.
Fuck it. We're going.
I'm glad Max Headroom's available to do our
Jesus
opener.
Christ.
Does anyone know who Max Headroom is anymore?
No, they don't.
It's kids today.
Coming up on today's show, Mel Gelbart joins the show as Christiana is
indisposed,
taking care of business, doing whatever she's doing. Coming up on the show this week, I'll curse at my tablet, talk about some bad things someone's saying about Oprah.
Hey.
It's not just me. Someone who got fired for wearing a unicorn mask, or, hold on, no. Maybe getting fired for wearing a unicorn mask.
Oh,
and what's going on with Maine's wacky governor, Paul LePage?
He's zany.
He is. He's America's zany governor.
Aw.
He's tucked up there in the corner so people don't notice him, and Rick Perry out-crazies him, but only just slightly. So we'll get into that. But first, we have royal news direct from London. Let's go now to the BBC.
Thank you, Robert. Well, plenty more to come from here, of course. None of it news, because that'll come from Buckingham Palace. But that won't stop us. We'll see you later. Rachel.
You heard it here first.
They went a little nutty with their royal baby coverage. By the way, it's a boy, and I still don't give a shit. Mel, do you care?
You know, congratulations to anybody that has a baby, I guess. But, whatever.
Becca, do you give a shit?
Yes, it's polite to give a shit when people have babies.
Everybody in the world? Because there's people crapping out babies everywhere.
Wow, that sounds...
I don't know. I've never done it. I hear it's really hard, so I'm going to... Blessings. Mazel tov.
Well said.
Ted, do you care?
Not any more than I would care about things that I don't care about.
There you go. I think...
I mean, I'm glad that it's a healthy baby, of course, but it has not been on my radar.
Yeah, nobody was hoping for like a three-headed monster or anything like that.
Well, when you put it that way.
I was watching the news the other day, and one of the newscasters was commenting on it, and the male newscaster turned to the female newscaster and just was like, nobody cares. Can we not talk about this? She was so offended.
She should get past that.
Yeah. I actually have a friend who's in London right now. Hi, Rachel. And she posted on Facebook today that there was like no buzz in the streets or anything really going on in London at all regarding the baby. So maybe it's not that big a deal.
It's a media creation, really. I mean, ultimately, that's what it is. The Today Show goes batshit crazy for this stuff. Danielle Lee, who I used to work with here in Sacramento, works for NBC News. She's been in London for... I think 2 weeks now covering this.
Oh my gosh. What is there even going to be to see that a reporter has to sit there for 2 weeks?
Well,
you know?
it was all the lead up and everything like this. NBC has sent a friggin' army of people over there for this. They didn't get the memo that we won the Revolutionary War and the War of 1812.
Huh.
It's true. We don't care about the monarchy. We don't. We shouldn't.
Nah, not really. No.
Yeah. So Mel.
Yes, sir.
Welcome back.
Hey, thanks.
One of the original cast members.
Back in my original seat. Well, actually not. My second seat. I used to have Ted's seat.
Oh, is it weird to have me sitting in your seat?
No, because I sat here most of the time. And
yeah.
This was always my favorite seat because it's comfy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yeah, and the seat over there, that's long gone. I mean, those are new chairs.
Yeah, they are.
Wow.
Yeah, we've been taking care of business. By the way, taking care of business because people are shopping Amazon through NateDarlingShow.com. So thank you so much for doing that.
Yay.
And keep it up. It's easy. You go to NateDarlingShow.com, you click the Shop Amazon tab, and then you're at Amazon. Do whatever you're going to do. We get a little taste of it.
Mm.
You get your stuff at no extra cost, and it helps the show. We're able to buy chairs and mic stands and pay for bandwidth and stuff like that so that you can keep getting a free show, actually two free shows every week.
Oh, my goodness.
Thank you to everyone who shopped recently because this time I came in and I have a new mic stand, and it is amazing because it's adjustable. And normally I used to have a non-adjustable one, and I had to sort of straddle the mic stand like a little spider monkey and kind of wrap around it and do the podcast. And now it's like I get to lay back in my chair like a VIP and just move the mic where I want it. It's amazing.
Aww.
So please keep shopping there because what could be next? Throw pillows? Mochas?
Wow.
I don't know what kind of luxury we could get here.
A masseuse.
Yeah, just so it's just to tell you that when you're shopping through Amazon through us, the money is going back into the show. I'm not just running out getting hoes and stuff.
Or rakes or any other kind of gardening
it's true.
Implements.
Nothing like that. Not a spade.
A trowel.
Yeah, thank you for following up spade with something.
Or a hooker.
Accused of me. Yes, exactly.
Or anything to hang your jacket on. That's not the same thing. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Mel is wearing a hooker-themed t-shirt right now. I suspect it has a double meaning, but I don't know what it is.
Oh, it's fishing, I believe.
Yes.
There's fishing hooks, but they look like boobs.
It says support your local hookers, and then it sort of has fish hooks that curve around Mel's boobs.
True mm-hmm. story.
That's right.
Frames them nicely, by the way.
Thank you.
Well done. So you've got a new member for your family, right?
We do. We adopted.
And oh.
Tell us about the newest member.
So we decided Rusty seemed lonely and needed a friend. Aww. So we went to the shelter. I did some research and I had picked out who I thought was going to be our new friend.
Mm-hmm.
His name was Blackie. So
people at the shelter are so clever at naming animals. Let me guess.
Guess what color he was?
Yeah, exactly.
Mauve.
Yeah. So we went and we saw Blackie, and Blackie was pitiful and not interested in us and pooped.
Oh. Well, they all do.
He just pooped.
In disinterest? I pooped in disinterest.
Yeah, he didn't want to let us pet him or talk to him or play with him or whatever. So
then he was not the pet for you.
Not the pet for us. I wanted a cute, adorable, sweet lap dog. Well, Paul, of course, the dog whisperer, was like, let's meet this other dog. So I was like, well, I don't know. And he came in, and of course, he walked around the room and then came over, jumped in my lap, and fell asleep.
Aw.
So Frankie Beans is our newest family member. He is my soft, smooth-coated lap dog, which is what I always wanted. He's a Chihuahua Terrier mix. And except for the fact that he's a bit mischievous and has gotten into a few odds and ends in the house, he ate a corner of my Sammy Hagar autobiography.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no.
And a pen. And
a pen?
He ate, chewed up a pen, chewed up a pop can, and some other odds and ends. Chewed up part of a pack of cigarettes.
Yeah, was it filtered or unfiltered?
He
or?
Started filter end first. Oh, okay. So he ate the filters and left the other ends a little bit.
Okay. Well, that's probably better. I mean, that is the better end if you're going to consume, I guess.
I figure he's, you know, it's cleaning him out. It's like roughage. So, you know.
Rough.
Terrible cotton mouth, though.
But he's very sweet. He sleeps in the bed and he's very friendly. And now Rusty and him are rumpusy in the yard all day, which tires them out and makes them happy. So that's good.
Aw.
Yay.
Speaking of rumpusy, I was at the Sacramento Zoo on Sunday.
Me too.
Me too.
Mel, were you at the zoo on Sunday?
I was not at the zoo on
what
Sunday.
What the fuck?
What? I'm sorry. May Christiana was.
Yeah, I don't know.
Probably not.
I didn't see you guys either.
I would like to say, like, I'm morally opposed to animals in cages, but I'm not. I love the zoo. I just didn't happen to go.
That's fine.
And our Sacramento Zoo is actually really humane. Like, they work really hard with international standards to make sure that they only have animals in the right size space and they don't have any large animals that they can't.
But don't make me
humanely.
Brag about the Cincinnati Zoo, which is the forerunner of all of that. We invented that.
And nice.
We have some of the best enclosures in the world.
I forgot nice. About your Cincinnati roots.
That's right.
It's true. Should I bring up Cleveland and all the murdering and putting people in bags that are going on there?
No, let's keep talking about the zoo.
In the beloved Ohio? Okay.
Because we went to the zoo and then we got home and we saw that on Facebook that you were also at the zoo, but we did not see you there.
Yeah, I went to the zoo a little later in the day, near the end of the day, and got to see the new baby tiger.
Yay! CJ!
We got to see him.
That's on exhibit.
He's
and
cute.
When I was there... he was doing the playing thing with his mother, and he was chasing her around the enclosure.
Oh, that's Aww. Adorable. He was asleep when we saw him.
Yeah. He was asleep, completely pushed up against the display glass, like belly first, like a you know, it was just very cute. I'm doing like the cardinal sin of podcasting, which is I'm acting out silently what he was doing, and none of you can see it, but it was adorable.
It's true.
It rivals Spider Monkey Becca for cuteness.
Yeah. So a little hot. So when I was there, the lemurs were nowhere to be seen. The snow leopard was back inside, and I did not see the jaguar, and the lions were laid out flat.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was hot for the big cats. We did not see the chimpanzees or orangutans when we were there because it was too hot.
One chimpanzee near the door, like, came out. It was, like, 2 feet from the door, sort of, like, looking at people, and then he went back inside. He's like, F this.
Yeah, I'm not going to waste poo. Throw it at you guys.
Speaking of poo, we discovered something amazing at the Sacramento Zoo.
Is it the t-shirt?
Oh, they had a Pooh t-shirt, which was great. But no, we were looking at the carousel that's going around, and Ted's like, what is that big round seed pod thing? Because there's all these different animals, mm-hmm. you know, on the carousel. And we're looking at it closer, and it has a beetle on it. And we're like, it's a dung beetle. So you can, there's a love seat carved into this big poo ball on the carousel, and you can sit in the dung beetle's poo ball with your sweetheart and ride the Sacramento Zoo carousel, which I thought was amazing.
It's fantastic.
You know what's amazing is the look on Mel's face, because she could not be more disgusted by that thought.
It doesn't smell much like poo.
No, I mean, it's not, you know, of course, actual poop, but I thought that was actually pretty good, because I think in actuality, dung beetles, like, the larger their ball of poo, the better player they are. Like, the better lady they get if they, because they roll around this giant ball of poo and collect it. So I thought putting a love seat in the dung beetle's ball of dung was actually really scientifically correct.
I want to do an improv scene with
It works the same way with douchebags and Axe.
Now, did you guys at the state fair go and see the imitation poo where you had to match the poo to the animal that pooed it?
No,
where was that? Oh.
Where you get the little sapling trees.
Oh, we missed that. We saw Weird Al, though, so, you know, wasn't a total loss.
Did you play Guess the Poo?
We did. Paul always gets them all right. He knows his poo.
Wow.
That's important.
He's a keeper.
Yeah.
Someone's got to know their poo.
Yeah.
Because you want to know when something's abnormal.
Yeah.
Plus, if a bear shits in the backyard, you probably should be aware of it.
Right.
Because what is that?
It's true.
Hey, that's bear.
He's out of his neighborhood.
Yeah, you don't want him back. Put in the trash cans, honey. The bear's in town. All right. So, Becca, yes. I was looking on Facebook, and you were sharing with someone that you watched the Katy Perry movie.
I did, and I have to say that I was really surprised to see this on our agenda for today. I'm not really sure what you're going to ask me about this, but yes, a friend recommended that I watch the Katy Perry documentary, which I did, and then I posted on her page that I had watched it and enjoyed it.
Now, to be clear, neither of you is 13.
No, although she did go see it with her daughter, so she has a plausible excuse, and then she told me to go see it.
Which
I waited till it was on Netflix streaming before
right.
I got it.
Yeah. You didn't catch it. You didn't go and run out and see it in 3D at the theater.
No, they saw it in 3D in the theaters.
Holy crap, that show was in 3D?
Yes. Yeah, it was.
Wow.
Because it was like a big concert film, and they're doing a lot of those. I mean, I think Bieber had one and other, you know,
One Direction has one coming out.
Yeah, you know, because a lot of the teens like to go see the 3D concert film.
Oh, wow. It's a whole new dimension.
But hers was like, it's part concert film and part kind of documentary about her first tour and also about her life growing up.
With marriage issues?
What?
Didn't she have? And she got married during the tour.
Yeah, she got married to Russell Brand and divorced in the course of this 1 year tour. Mm-hmm. And so they show all of that and kind of her breaking down backstage and everything. And it's actually really poignant. I was impressed actually, because I didn't consider myself like a giant Katy Perry fan. Like, I like some of her songs annoy me, what have you. But it was a really neat movie, and you know, she got dropped by a number of record labels before she made it big, and now she has actually broken the record for the most number one singles on an album by any female artist ever. You know, she did this tour for a year.
Greetings, loved one.
Even while her husband, you know, left her, and it's like, okay, I just got broken up with, and here I go on stage for 3 hours, you know, and she was a true professional and she did it. And, you know, there's a lot of things to really respect about her watching that film. Plus, all of her outfits for her tour look like candy, and some of them are motorized and some of them light up, and the whole set looks like Candyland, and it was actually really pretty cool.
Okay. What I should watch it if only to compare her breakup with the Kim Kardashian breakup and her fake... her fake angst over the whole thing, which is very amusing. The Keeping Up with the Kardashians that just aired this weekend, her divorce became final. And it was like, whatever. So, that's done. Yeah, I was just curious what prompted watching the Katy Perry movie.
It was really lovely. And I don't know. I mean, she's a really pretty positive girl. Her song Firework, I think, is a wonderful, uplifting tune, which I listen to regularly. And I don't know. I'm curious to see where she's going to go next.
Hmm. Yeah.
And but, it's on Netflix streaming if anybody wants to watch it for free. It's really fun.
Well, it's not free. You have to pay $7.99 a month, but still.
Well, if you live with someone like Ted who pays for it, then it's free.
Oh, everyone needs a sugar Ted.
A sugar Ted. I know. I got Netflix streaming and all the ramen I want.
Wait. We haven't had ramen in ages.
I know, but I could. There's a whole box of it in our cupboards. That's my point. Anytime I want ramen, you guys, I have it.
Not just ramen. Top ramen.
Heck yeah.
Let's not go that far. That's another 25 cents. Okay. Oh, man, your cat is molesting my foot and a sandal at the same time.
Oh, my God. I don't know if you guys actually addressed that, although there was a picture on the Nate Darling Show Facebook page, mm-hmm. right, of the fact that Ace the cat is in love with Ted's Birkenstock sandal, and he's seriously, like, he's got some of his limbs inside of it right now mm-hmm. and some outside, and he's rubbing it, and just he loves you might have to leave that sandal here, Ted.
Well, to be fair, he does the same thing, because my scale in the bathroom is one of those that's clear. So he will put a paw underneath it and one on top of it. It's really just that he can see it. He's a cat. His brain is very tiny. And so he's very easily amused because he's a cat.
But he's also rubbing his face with his eyes closed all over the sandal.
Oh, yeah. He's owning it.
Yeah.
He's owning it. It's a message to your cats. Yeah. Fuck off. This is mine. That's what his message is.
Aren't you excited, Ted, to have so many different beings fighting over your cracked old Birkenstock sandal?
I'm flattered and honored. Thank you. Thank you, Ace.
Mr. Birkenstock would be proud, too.
Yeah.
All right, so we didn't talk much about the whole George Zimmerman, Trayvon Martin thing because, well, I don't think there's any winner or loser in this whole thing. I think it's kind of a terrible thing that happened, and I don't think anything good came of it. In any way, shape, or form. And so I don't really want to talk too much about that. Let me turn Katy Perry off because it's just so...
It's too upbeat for the Trayvon Martin case.
It's antithetical to what we're doing.
Right.
So Romani Malco is an actor. He's African-American, and he has written a message to Trayvon Martin sympathizers. It's a blog on Huffington Post. And this is what he wrote. I haven't touched on the Trayvon Martin issue because race matters in this country are the paralysis of the American people. To constructively discuss Trayvon would require empathy, introspection, and an understanding of America's social and economic history. This is why the open forums we've seen thus far seem to fuel ignorance and bias more than reasonable debate. To be brutally honest, the only reason people are even aware of Trayvon Martin is because it became a topic within mainstream news and pop culture. It was something that you could sell. When you're looking to cover news and stories like this, if it's something that people show in it, you do the original story, especially locally, and then if there is an interest in it and people are commenting on it and they're writing in about it, you'll get more coverage of that. That's kind of how it goes. So I'm going to skip over the whole section about how the media covers stuff, because that's basically what it is. It's about ratings. You're covering the news, but you will give more coverage to things that people show more interest in.
Like the royal baby.
Yeah.
Off topic.
Completely.
Wow. Sorry, everyone.
NBC News. So anyway, to skip ahead in this, he says people are using Trayvon Martin's death as an excuse to project their own deep-seated issues with racism and will not be capable of intelligent empathic debate until they've cooled down and afforded themselves an education. Addressing Trayvon without first addressing the absence of critical thinking in our schools, the lack of introspection, the reasons for our low tolerance, and our country's skewed value system does nothing more than create a sounding board for the ignorant. So rather than facilitate more racism outcry, I'd like to address young black people, specifically. He goes on, I believe we lost that trial for Trayvon long before he was killed. Trayvon was doomed the moment ignorance became synonymous with young black America. We lost that case by using media outlets, movies, music, social media, etc., as vehicles to perpetuate the same negative images and social issues that destroyed the black community in the first place. We went on record glorifying violent crime. When we voted for a president, we never thought to hold accountable. We signed on to do reality shows that fed into the media's stereotypes of black men. We ingrained the image of Trayvon Martin so overwhelmingly that who he actually may have been didn't matter anymore. Don't you find it peculiar that the same media outlets who have worked so diligently to galvanize the negative stigmas of black men in America are now airing open debates on improving the image of black males in American media? Do you honestly think CNN is using their competitive time slots for philanthropy? And then he quotes Rahm Emanuel, "You never want a serious crisis to go to waste." He continues, "If we really wanted to ensure Trayvon Martin's killing was not in vain, we'd stop perpetuating negative images that are now synonymous with black men in America. We'd stop rapping about selling drugs and killing niggas. The next time we saw a man beating a woman, we'd call for help or break it up. But one thing we would not do is stand by with our cell phones out yelling, 'World Star!' Instead of rewarding kids for memorization, we'd reward them for independent and critical thinking. We'd spend less time subconsciously repeating lyrics about death and murder and more time understanding why we are so willing to twerk to songs that bemean women and boast of things having things that we cannot afford. We'd set examples of self-love for our youth by honoring our own hair, skin, and eye color. We'd stop spending money on designer gear that we should be spending on our physical and psychological health. We'd seek information outside the corporate-owned media that manipulates us. We'd stop letting television babysit our kids and quit regurgitating pundits we haven't come up with our own yet. Education, introspection, self-love, and excellence are the only ways to overcome the wrath of ignorance. So before going back to popping Molly and getting turnt up, I urge you to consider the implications of your actions. Your child's life may depend on it." I thought that was a fantastic message to, and a little bit brave to sort of stand up and say something. Because when somebody who's far more well-known and established, such as Bill Cosby, says something similar to that, he's gotten criticized roundly for it. So for a Hollywood actor who's only, he's been in some films, people would know him if they saw him, but he's not a Denzel Washington. For him to come out and just lay it out like that, I thought was pretty telling.
When did this come out?
Today.
There will be repercussions for him.
Oh, sure. Sure. There's going to be repercussions for that.
He hates his people and he hates black identity and he doesn't get it.
Yeah, there will be, because I think there are a lot of people that have made a lot of money by the situation being like it is. People who are professionally outraged, people who point to there being problems without looking for solutions. If you're looking for problems, you're looking at problems you're having. What you should do, and I don't care who you are, is first look at yourself and go, "What am I doing something that is, if not necessarily causing, but making this problem worse than it is?" And if you look honestly and you can find something and you work on that, things do tend to work out a little bit better for you. But this is such a huge problem. In Chicago, they have the highest murder rate, and it's not half white security guards and carrying guns shooting black kids. It's black kids shooting black kids. It's a big, big problem. And it's, you need people to stand up and say that there is a problem, or you're never going to have any acknowledgement or solving of it. And this has nothing to do with George Zimmerman or that whole verdict or anything like that. I think it's something that we haven't seen in a long time, to have somebody stand up, not since like someone like Dick Gregory in the 60s, to stand up and go, "This is what's really going on," and going, because he doesn't dismiss that there are other problems, that there is racism, that there is ignorance, that there is all of these things that they're dealing with. So I don't know. I thought it was a really ballsy thing to do. And yeah, he's going to catch a lot of flack for it. Mm-hmm. And he had to know it writing it. He had to know it when he wrote it, and then to put it on the Huffington Post, because he will. So anyway, what do you guys think? Ballsy move?
I feel it's funny you brought up that Bill Cosby thing, because actually when I read this today, I was thinking of that same thing. And I always get really uncomfortable because I feel like that the Bill Cosby speech has ballooned out on Facebook and people have added things to it and whatnot.
Oh, yeah.
And I always see like a white Facebook friend sharing that, being like, "Tell it, Bill." And I'm always like, that speech is not really for you to to tell the black community what you as a white person think they need to do to make themselves better. And so I felt like right when I read this essay, I thought it was very well written. I really appreciated what he had to say. And I was like, I don't want to comment on that. It's not for me to comment on.
Because don't you feel, I mean, because I kind of feel the same way. Like, I feel like if I'm like, yeah, I get that, then I'm going be more white or be how I think you should be. And it's not up to me to decide. It's about honoring yourself and doing what you think is right in the world in general. But it has these connotations depending whose mouth it's coming out of.
It really does. Yeah. I felt like this was a letter, you know, from someone in the African-American community to the African-American community. Mm-hmm. And of course it was open so we could all read it. But I feel like I don't have the place to say, I'm not looking at it the same way to know whether this is like great advice or not, but I appreciated it. I thought that it was very thoughtful and it was a response that I haven't been seeing a lot in regards to the Trayvon Martin case. And yeah, I'm glad it's out there.
Yeah. I think it was a good jumping off point for him to do. I mean, obviously this has been something that's been in his mind for a while and he just used this as a jumping off point. But Ted, what are your thoughts?
Well, I guess, I don't know. It's, I think he may be a part of, you know, there is something to be said for taking responsibility for how one leads one's life and decision one makes. But I think if you're speaking to the Trayvon Martin sympathizers, you might need to speak a bit more about beyond just writing about and sounding off on it, getting involved in some capacity, be it, you know, talking to your, you know, sending letters to your congressperson or getting involved in the community, because I think there is a lot of underfunding of the facilities that make, you know, that can help, you know, make the community, that the poor communities do better. I mean, not to speak for Becca, I hope you don't mind if I do this, but you, when you were working for what was it for with the kids, the after school program, you know, an underfunded school, it's just, you know, with a million kids and not enough supplies and just, you know, underfunded institution, things just go out of control. So I think he's touching on part of the problem, but I think there's a wider issues there as well.
Yeah, and I just think it's part that you can't ignore though, and whether it's the best advice or not the best advice, I'm just saying it's ballsy to say it and to put it out there because he's putting himself out there.
Yeah,
and that's really my whole point. Mm. And it's just, I mean, you're not going to hear that in a lot of places. No one is going to get on TV and say what he just said. Now they will, because he's going to get booked wherever he wants to go, and he may just go, no, I already, what I had to say is already out there. Or you may see a lot more of him in the next little bit. So good job. Now for the other side of the fallout from the Trayvon Martin thing, a teen who tweeted an offensive statement about Trayvon Martin learned the hard way that social media can have professional consequences when a Michigan company took immediate action and terminated her before she had even begun her new job.
I love people are still figuring this fucking concept out, that when you put things out on the internet, people read them.
Right. 17-year-old who had been hired at Bigby Coffee franchise in Livonia, Michigan, but had not yet begun training or started working, reportedly tweeted, quote, I want to thank God, ... for the bullet that killed Trayvon Martin, end quote.
Why?
I don't know.
I still understand why people are dancing on this kid's grave. It's just so fucking sick and twisted.
According to M Live, it was posted to her account the night the jury delivered a not guilty verdict for George Zimmerman after he shot and killed 17-year-old Martin. Shortly after, offended individuals tweeted the company and filled its Facebook page with messages condemning the company for hiring a, quote, racist.
How'd they know? Was it
employee?
On her Facebook page that I work here and I haven't even started yet? Like, probably. Did she update her profile that fucking fast?
I think she did. Probably. How else would they know?
Yeah.
Probably. Yeah.
You just can't put your corporate profile up and then tweet whatever racist random stuff right next to your company's name.
Yeah.
You know?
So shortly after, they did it. So Bob Perry, who's the owner of the store, told the Huffington Post he found his would-be employee's tweet horrific. Yes. He said, I did hire her, but I had no knowledge of her tweet whatsoever. In a Facebook post on the store's page, Perry said he had received hundreds of calls about the situation. The company released a statement earlier in the week saying the employee had been suspended pending additional details. And then on Thursday of last week, Perry said she had been let go. Some commended the company's decision, including Twitter user at Miss Gia, who not Gia, but Gia, who had previously called out the girl's tweet. She said, quote, I, for one, was happy when she didn't get a chance to start IMO and shows character in Big B's as a business. So
did you read the sort of addendum to that article, or it was down in the bottom that Big B's is extra sensitive to racism because they used to be called Beaners and people complained. And so they had to change their name.
Gotta be careful about everything these days.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, we meant coffee beans. Nobody cares.
Right.
Yeah. So,
so good job, Big B's, for being extra on the ball.
Yeah. And hey, 17-year-olds, because I know all of them are listening, stop putting stupid shit on your Facebook page and Twitter.
Yeah. My big advice is don't film a fight. And if you do, don't put it on your Facebook page because we'll catch you.
Sadly, it's not just kids that have to learn this lesson. It's adults who are stupid and take pictures of each other in public forums and complain and all lose their jobs.
Mm-hmm.
That makes my job so much easier.
I mean, could you go the other route? Like, if you just really want to spout off all kinds of nonsense, how about just don't put where you work and a lot of identifying information? I mean, somebody could search you out maybe and kind of figure it out, but like my Facebook profile and stuff, it doesn't have anything about like where I work, where I went to school, blah blah blah. I mean, just stay anonymous and then you can be as racist as you want, right? No, yeah. I'm just kidding.
No. Me, Becca, all her rants are just at the house.
That's your plan. Or you can just get a fake one like a lot of people do.
Yeah.
If you're gonna put ridiculous shit out there, get a fake name, put it on there.
Ooh, good idea.
Yeah, my favorite new fake name that I heard the other day, Howie Felterbush.
That's pretty good.
At least it's new. There you go. Another fallout of the Trayvon Martin case. See, I'm bringing it all around now, and I'm not talking at all about the Trayvon Martin case itself. But ABC 15 in Phoenix was covering after the verdict, and they said, where can we go to get reaction?
Someplace where the blacks hang out.
Apparently, they went to Lolo's Chicken and Waffles for reaction to the Trayvon Martin case, and they are catching flack for it.
Do a lot of African Americans go there?
It's like saying go to a watermelon field to find them, Ted.
Okay.
To be fair, Mel, they did go to the chicken and waffle place, and it was filled with African Americans. So, well,
what if you said, we want to get a reaction from people of Mexican descent. Go to one of the authentic Mexican restaurants in town. You'll find some. Not there. There couldn't be Mexicans. I don't know. I guess I'm not as offended as I should
Ted, not all Mexicans eat burritos and wear sombreros. Didn't you read your Target sensitivity training?
I guess.
No. I honestly had the same feeling that you did, where it's like, it sounds bad because it's called Lolo's Chicken and Waffles, but what if it was just like Joe's Diner, where a lot of African Americans hung out? You know what I mean? It's just the name that makes it sound so bad, but is it really that bad if it's a community hangout? I don't know.
That's what I'm wondering.
Yeah. They shouldn't have done it. They should have known better, but they probably didn't have evil intentions.
They should have instead gone to a place where they like do weaves and extensions.
Oh, man.
Grills.
Mm-hmm.
They were closed then, though.
God.
Oh, no.
So, the blog.
Or a crack house.
Oh, that's much better.
Yeah, but there's not a map to that. They don't have a sign at the crack house, Mel. according to blogs from the PhoenixNewTimes.com, they explain, the belief that African Americans like fried chicken and waffles or are good at playing basketball is what's called a stereotype.
For the record, though, I love chicken and waffles so very much, so go figure.
Yeah, well, let's see if we can listen to Dave Chappelle on the topic of chicken.
That's the thing, there's so much stuff to worry about. You know, the more you know, the more you don't know and shit. You know, like a lot of people be telling me, Dave, you know, you just gotta relax, the racism thing be bugging you too much. I'll be thinking about it. Sometimes shit will happen. You know, a lot of black people can relate to this. Have you ever had something happen that was so racist that you didn't even get mad? You were just like, God damn, that was racist. I mean, it was so blatant, you were just like, wow. Like, you almost like it didn't even happen to you. It was like a fucking movie. That was like you was watching Mississippi Burning. Wow. That happened to me. I was in Mississippi. I was in Mississippi doing a show, and I go to the restaurant to order some food, and I say to the guy, I say, I would like to have, and before I even finish my sentence, he says, the chicken! I could not believe it. Could not believe that shit. This man was absolutely right. I said, how did he know that I was gonna get some chicken?
So yeah, the bit goes on longer, but so you can go, well, it's racist because you went to the Chicken and Waffle House, but when you see the video in the Chicken and Waffle House, 85% of their clientele is African American. So if you want to talk to some African Americans, that's where they went. I don't know that there was any racist intent behind it, but some will tell me that that's racist, that you do something like that without intent. It's ingrained racism.
Having a hard
time. It's all very tricky.
It is.
Does anyone else just want waffles now? Like, I'm so stressed out that I said something accidentally racist that it's making me crave sweet carbs. And now I'm like, let's just go get waffles and call this a show.
We could go to the porch and get the chicken and waffles. I'll eat the chicken and you can eat the waffle.
Deal.
Yeah, neither of those are on my diet. Not fried chicken. Sorry.
You can eat the parsley on the side of the plate.
Paul won't make fried chicken because he doesn't believe in deep frying in the house. So I have to go out if I want it.
What does that mean?
It's too messy.
Oh, that's some weird religious belief.
No, it's just, it's too messy.
I don't believe in it.
He did a whole roasted chicken the other day, but he won't do anything deep fried because it's too messy.
You can, like, make chicken, like...
Could you, like, shake and bake it in some kind of batter?
Not the same.
It's not the same.
Okay.
How about an outdoor fryer?
He won't do it.
All right.
Because then you waste oil and it drives him crazy.
Wow, I feel like we're...
Is that really... You just go on, then you can just go, honey, I want some fried chicken.
And we'll run out and get some.
Exactly.
No problem.
Yeah. See, problem solved.
Yeah.
I knew it was simple. Hey, let's shift gears.
Okay.
Maine's Governor Paul LePage apparently wanted to hire Miss Maine for an education position.
He's sort of like Boss Hogg.
He is. He's nutty as squirrel turds, this guy. He wanted to hire the winner of the 2011 Miss Maine USA pageant to promote career and technical education. An idea the state's education commissioner firmly rejected, according to emails requested by a Central Maine newspaper.
I don't think that's completely insane. I mean, on the face of it, it sounds insane. But to be in those pageants, I mean, you do have to have, like, education and stuff. I just think he's overstepping his fucking bounds, giving people jobs that he doesn't even have the authority to give.
And then he just kind of, I agree.
You can be queen of the state, Becca.
And then he just, sends a line to the Department of Education, like, find this lady a job. I'm sure there's some money somewhere. But I do think that she actually was a scholar, and they said that she... No, it says in the article that she was some kind of... All-American scholar and athlete. And I don't think she was specifically in tech careers, which was what she was going to go talk about, but I don't think it would have been that crazy.
The education commissioner says, and I quote, all of a sudden we're supposed to hire some beauty queen with, from what I can tell, no CTE knowledge or background and bring her on board to fill a position we don't have and have never had.
You got to go down, though, to his apology, because then he explains it a little more.
Oh, have to the governor's apology?
No, the guy that said, no fucking way am I going to hire her. We don't even have a job. Then he then followed that up with, I mean, she's not a complete twit. Ding dong.
Yeah.
Ding dong.
Well, it's fine. It's just very strange that this is your big fight. let's have this fight for a moment. We'll move on from this, but let me see.
I think this guy just goes, like, out to lunch or sees a pretty girl and is like, you want a job? I'll get you a job. Hey, Eddie, you want to be the official car washer of the state? You're my cousin. Yeah, give him a job. I think he just thinks he can do whatever the fuck he wants.
Well, he's also the governor who threatened to move his office out of the state house in Maine because the Democrats said, no, you can't put partisan information on the monitor outside your office. It has to be just state informational stuff. And he said, they're suppressing my freedom of speech, so I'm not going to have an office here. I mean, he's an 8-year-old.
He's
going to storm off.
Yeah, he's completely ridiculous. And as the education, the head of the education department there, you know, said that they're in a severe budget crisis right now, and they certainly don't have money for new positions of any kind, not even teachers for the schools and all that. And it seemed as if the governor was not really aware of that or didn't really care.
He don't care.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Jenny McCarthy is going to be on The View now. Oh. Yeah.
I hate her so much.
I guess I'll have to keep not watching it.
Uh-huh. It's just, you know, the worst, this is so horrible because whatever. The worst thing about Jenny McCarthy is that she's so fucking hot, and I want her to be ugly because she's so idiotic, but then you look at her and you're like, damn, she's hot.
Ah.
Yeah. Well, she is the single most recognizable public face of the anti-vaccination movement. This is from Slate.com. which persists even though there's no evidence that vaccines cause autism. She's been forced herself to shift her rhetoric several times as scientific evidence has debunked everything she's said. Vaccine-preventable diseases are on the rise thanks to the startling success of the McCarthy-fueled movement. Nearly 90% of kids in the United States still get their 14 recommended shots during the first few years of life. But communities where the anti-vaxxers have taken hold, like Ashland, Oregon, and Vashon Island in Washington, have seen outbreaks of preventable diseases that were banished decades ago.
Good job, asshat.
Washington, a hotbed of vaccine skepticism, has reported over 2,000 cases of whooping cough this year. We had a huge outbreak problem of whooping cough in California last year.
Thanks, Jenny.
And now this stupid twat is going to be in a position on a show where she's going to sit there for an hour a day and give her opinion on shit. It's ridiculous.
She don't like science. Science is not real.
Yeah.
Where does she come from?
Playboy.
But what does she believe in? Just whatever her heart tells her?
She's nutty.
Okay.
She's nutty as squirrel. She's nuttier than the governor of Maine.
Well, wow. The anti-vaccine thing happened because she had an autistic child, and that was her theory at the time about why it had happened, because I guess the signs of autism appeared, shortly after the child had received vaccines. So that's why she's on that crusade. I don't actually know anything about any of the rest of her politics or viewpoints at all. I mean, does she have some kind of political agenda beyond the vaccine thing?
No, it's really just that.
I mean, the vaccine thing is terrible.
But it's killing people.
Yeah, it's
people
terrible.
People are dying because of her idiotic viewpoints. Now, should they listen to her, and do they? No, they shouldn't, but some of them do. But people are dying. And for ABC to give her a platform like that, whether she can espouse this viewpoint once in a while or every day doesn't matter. I mean, Elizabeth Hasselbeck was a twit. She was a right-wing nut, and she's going to Fox and Friends in the morning, which she'll be great there. But she would only say something every now and then everybody else would go, "You're being ridiculous." And that nobody was dying because of that, though.
Right. Right.
So yeah, I'm angry.
Mel,
I'm boycotting The View.
Good for you.
That's right.
Fuck them.
That's right.
Women on TV. That's the problem.
Well, it's just annoying because, I mean, people that don't want to say, like, this is, it's science. It's not make-believe. Like, there's facts and numbers and research. It's fucking science. It's not, like, maybe.
Yeah.
It's not questionable.
This isn't global warming, people.
It's science. I mean, Jesus Christ.
And then there's just the feeling that, I mean, of course they gave her this job because she is so polarizing and people will want to watch and hate watch and blah, blah. And it's like, couldn't you find a woman who actually is thoughtful and intelligent to sit on a show for an hour a day?
It's not as exciting.
Well, right. And you have to remember, they're replacing a pretty blonde with a pretty blonde.
Oh, right.
Ultimately, That's what's going on. Meanwhile,
I was just going to say, maybe this is the direct pipeline to Fox News. Like, you do your year of being a pretty blonde on The View, and then you just move right along.
Oh, no, Elizabeth Hasselbeck's been on The View for like 6-7-8 years. She's been there a long time.
I don't watch The View.
She went right from she was a contestant on Survivor.
Ah.
Yeah. And then she married a journeyman NFL quarterback. So how hot are the Pittsburgh Pirates, Becca?
So hot.
They're really,
I don't even know
what kind of sport they are.
So they're a baseball team. They've got porn stars hanging out at the ballpark in giant unicorn heads.
There's no correlation between Pittsburgh Pirates and unicorns.
But I saw the picture and she did look pretty hot.
She is.
She has little hot pants on and then a unicorn head.
Porn star Andy Sandemus, who is in Pittsburgh to perform at a local gentleman's club, showed up for the game at PNC Park wearing a Neil Walker jersey shirt. And she donned a unicorn head and did a little dance.
Aw.
And when an usher asked her to knock off the booty shaking, she reportedly replied, and I quote, "Oh, I'm sorry. I was trying to have a good time at the fucking Pirates game." That got her a trip to the stadium slammer, or whatever they call it, because apparently telling an usher to go fuck themselves, and she didn't even tell him to go fuck himself. She's like, "Hey, man, I'm having a good time." Way to embrace the fans, dicks.
I guess I haven't seen the video, but she was dancing at a stadium.
The video, and the video is actually, it's really short, and she's just really booty shaking, and it's cute, actually, but maybe she was doing it for like 2 hours. I don't know. Like, that would be annoying if you're trying to watch the game. You know, I mean, if all she did was what's on the video, it seems like overreacting. But I gather, as with so many of our Florida corner stories, that alcohol was a factor in this and that she was pretty wasted.
Baseball game?
Well, I don't know about that, but that's only the beginning of the story. Let's go to KDKA, CBS 2, Pittsburgh's news leader for the rest.
Six, a photo that is making its rounds online is again bringing into question actions by Pittsburgh police officers. KD investigator Marty Griffin has the details.
Who is the man in the mask? That's what Pittsburgh police are trying to determine. They know it's a police sergeant. Police also know the woman posing beside him is described as an exotic dancer and an adult film star. Here's another photograph.
He was posing wearing the unicorn head.
Of the same woman from the unicorn picture working shortly after, taken at a local men's club. All of it has a lot of people from City Hall to police headquarters concerned.
I always hate to see anybody that disrespects that uniform. And to me, it was disrespectful
wearing a unicorn head.
So it's being looked at and will be addressed.
It's being looked at.
The controversy started here on this website, Deadspin.com. The site posting this picture of what the site described as a stripper wearing a unicorn mask being kicked out of PNC Park.
That's
and then
what it
this
was.
Photograph of a Pittsburgh police sergeant wearing the same mask with the adult entertainer beside him. In a later photo, the same woman is seen working at the local men's club. None of this sits well with police.
And especially the fact that it's a sergeant uniform. So this is someone that is a supervisor that we look up to lead other officers. And that's not the example we're looking for.
All right, we'll stop it there. I think we get the point.
Well, I would like to ask Mel this because the picture, it's not like he's like slapping her ass or anything. He's just standing there in the mask and she's standing next to him and that's it. And is this the real police officer or is this the
yes.
Pirates police
no,
officer?
No, that's a real Pittsburgh
okay.
police officer.
So how bad is it to just try on a criminal's mask real quick and
it's
snap
It's fine
photo?
If you don't take a picture and post it.
Okay.
Well, you know, once you do that, you're making a laughingstock of your department. It's unprofessional and it makes the department look bad. And again, social media. It would have been fine if they had done it and laughed and ha-ha'd, but
she's the
once
one
it gets... Yeah.
Yeah, she tweeted it out.
It's stupid. I
oh,
mean,
she
you got to know that if that gets out... You're wearing your police uniform. What
yeah.
do you want your bosses to say? Like, that's hilarious and adorable? Oh.
Yes. Yes, I would. I would like to go, you know what? This really is nothing. Let's move on with our lives.
It's unprofessional. They're in a role where they're supposed to command respect and wearing a unicorn head with a hooker. Or a dancer, excuse me. I don't
yeah.
mean to demean her.
Yeah.
She's a porn star. She
yes.
gets paid for sex on camera, not in private.
But I right. didn't realize that was on her Twitter. I don't
yeah.
know where I thought that was. So yeah, I guess a police officer showing up on a porn star's Twitter feed, like, look where I am at the police department. Like, here's my friend in
it
my
just
mask.
It makes a joke of them. It's like, you know,
yeah.
officers that take pictures of them with their gun out of the holster for no reason or sitting on their cars with girls with their tops off. I mean, all of that is everything you do, just like with any job, everything you do reflects on your company or your police department, and cops are held to a high standard.
Indeed. She clarified on Twitter later, for record, I was drunk at the Pirates game, not on drugs, idiots. I did not see or hear the security guard who asked me to leave. She also tweeted, no, it has nothing to do with anyone doing anything sexual in the mask. I actually have better / more creative ideas than that.
Ooh.
Exactly. So she has also since said that she's sorry and she never meant for the police officer to run into any trouble. But, you know, there you have it. Someone will find him. There's only so many sergeants built like that who would have been stationed there that night. They have to know who it was. I mean,
sure.
That can't be too hard. Hey, you know what it's time for?
What?
The Nate Darling Show. Cool. Or tool.
Whoa.
I knew eventually we'd get to it. Up first in cooler tool.
Uh-oh.
Oh, I didn't even get to that one. All right, moving. We're gonna. Oh, good God. What's going on here?
It already feels like cooler tool is way late in the show.
Oh, it's super late.
And we didn't get to any... What's happening tonight?
And I feel like I had the wrong show run because half of those stories weren't familiar to me.
I move stuff around. It's fine.
It's
okay.
Like Freaky Friday on here, but it's only Monday, Wednesday.
We can improvise. We're good at it.
That's what I'm going to do. Up first in Cooler Tool.
Lucky Wednesday.
The governor of Maine, Mel.
I like him. He's funny. Cool.
Becca.
Tool.
Dead.
Total Tool.
He is such a man child, and he's a tool.
Nuttier than squirrel poo.
Second up in cooler tool, wearing a unicorn mask. Ted, what's he?
Well, in honor of Larry Mead, I'm going to say it's cool to wear a unicorn mask. Why not? What's wrong with wearing a unicorn mask?
Becca.
Unless you're a cop and you're next to a prostitute. That's my caveat. All right.
I think it's totally cool. And FYI, if you go to the state fair, there are some unicorn masks that won prizes in the craft building, and they're made by someone in Carmichael. And now when I'm walking around my hometown, I'm like, who made the unicorn masks? I really want to meet them. If they listen to the show, call us.
Mel, what say you?
Well, since if you go to my Facebook pictures, you're going to see a picture of me with my boyfriend wearing a unicorn mask and a Pope hat. I better say cool, because Paul wears one every Easter. It's a long story. Don't ask.
I wasn't going to. I actually shared that story with our friend Larry Mead, and he found it hilarious.
That sounds hilarious.
As one would. Wearing a unicorn mask, that's fine. That's cool. As long as you're not wearing a banana hammock, too. Talking to you, all you parade gays.
Uh-oh.
One or the other, unicorn head or banana hammock. Not both. That's too gay.
No, at least if you're wearing the mask, I don't have to look you in the eye. And I know I already looked at your banana hammock, so
yeah,
it's just awkward.
Yeah.
I'd rather have the unicorn with the hammock.
Agreed.
And finally, in Cooler Tool, going to the Waffle House to find black people. Becca, what's a you?
Oh, Tool, of course, but waffles.
Ted.
I'm sorry, if you're looking for Chinese people, you go to Chinatown and find them. If you're going to look for black people, go to the Waffle House if you know they are there. I don't understand the controversy, and I feel awful saying that. Shut up, everyone.
You're a racist, Ted.
It must be.
Mel.
Go to the synagogue, you'll find Jews. Not the same. Not the same, I know.
It's not the same, Ted. I'm going to have to go to all. I just can't.
Okay, your choice.
I'm against my better judgment. I'm going with Ted on this. Only because, if they would have gotten to the chicken and waffle house and it would have been even 50-50, I would have been like, see, that's crap. You guys are idiots. But that was not the case. So, yeah.
If you want to find old people, go to the bingo parlor.
Hey, now.
What? Oh, that's racist.
Well, what's like a racist place that you would go to find Jews? I mean, can you think of a place that would be
like
offensive?
Like a thrift store.
Yes.
That would be offensive, and I wouldn't expect to find a bunch of Jews there.
Noah's Bagels.
Yeah. Like New York, maybe. If you want to find Jews, go to New York.
Ted,
that makes sense.
Ted, sorry. What's your favorite store?
My favorite store?
Yeah, what's the one that you say glowing things about all the time?
I'm afraid to find out. Costco?
No.
Target?
I know what...
It's the only one I've ever heard you mention by name.
I know what Nate's fishing for.
You're going to have to help me out here. J-Date?
I'm pretty sure he's fishing for Thrift Town.
That's the one.
Oh, shit.
Ted goes on about Thrift Town a lot.
Do I really?
Yes.
I don't even know it.
You've mentioned it multiple times.
We defend it a lot because Nate doesn't enjoy thrift stores, I don't think.
Oh, that's funny. I didn't realize I had that reputation.
And Thrift Town just happens to be the one near our house.
No,
actually, no, there's two near our house.
There's nothing wrong with it. It was just kind of an amusing coincidence.
And Thrift Town is better organized and cheaper than the Goodwill.
Boy.
Mm-hmm. Okay, the first rule of Jewish Fight Club is if somebody says ow, you stop.
Exactly.
Oh.
All right, so Oprah Winfrey. I promised I'd find somebody who had things to say about Oprah. Now, Ray Don Chong, who was in The Color Purple with Oprah, she's part black as well. She appeared on Maddie P's Radio Happy Hour, and who hasn't? She talked about how her relationship with O went from really good to really, really bad back in the 80s. Now, after this came out, she said she meant all of this in the best possible way.
Sure.
She didn't mean anything bad by this.
So she should have said at the very end of it, bless her heart.
Let's take a listen to Ray Don Chong, who I believe is Tommy Chong's daughter.
Right.
I think
what do you rate Oprah?
I think she's like a 4. The thing that's really great about Oprah that you can't take away from her is that she's a great brown noser. She knows. She'll go into, if you were in a room with her, she will pick the most powerful person and she'll become best friends with them. When we worked with her, the one thing about Oprah, she was that fat chick that was the cheerleader or the wannabe cheerleader in school, that was the student council president, that was the best friends with the principal, that was the volunteer nurse. She was that fat chick in school that like did everything and everybody loved her. That's Oprah.
Wow.
Love me.
A woman of a certain size.
Yeah, but the thing is that I have to respect her. You got to respect her no matter how vile she is, ultimately, because she's all about Oprah and she's boring. But aside from that, you got to kind of go, hello, hats off. Like, you've done an amazing thing. You have actually shifted the DNA of the universe in terms of thinking of power structure. She took a woman, if you looked at the way she looks like it, in 60 years ago, she would have been a housekeeper, luckily. She would not have been a house nigger. She would have been a field nigger. Let's be really raw here. So the fact that Oprah Winfrey has done what she's done, But seriously.
What is this lady's problem?
Working for Pauline.
So we have to give her props. Like, no matter how much, like, my personal vibe with her, I got to stop and say, this woman is a miracle, and I respect her, and I say kudos to you, and I don't give 2 cents about the other parts of it, because she shifted the DNA in terms of our thinking of a woman of a certain size and a certain shade. I love her for that. Like, I don't care what she's about. I don't care that I know her ins and outs. I just think that she's done a lot. So I love her for that, because we are in the struggle. It obviously, hasn't shifted. We're still struggling.
That was a really confusing interview.
That escalated quickly.
It's like,
I mean, that really got out of hand fast.
So,
She like insults her and then says she likes her? I don't get it.
She personally doesn't care for her,
okay.
But she
respects her.
She respects her for what she's accomplished, which is pretty good, because in slave days, she wouldn't even have been able to work in the house. They would have put her out in the field.
Right, I got that.
Yeah, it's like, wow.
That's some bitterness.
I mean, I loved the movie Commando, but I don't know. That was a bit much.
She's released a video response on YouTube saying that she meant the N-word as a compliment.
What about the rest of it? It's like, oh, that was the part that tripped us up. No?
Yeah. Here's what amuses me. Maddie P's Radio Happy Hour sounds... The sound quality on that is so much worse than this show that we're doing from my living room. The show that we're doing in my living room, on my couch and on two folding
Maybe
chairs
Maddie
from IKEA.
Maybe Maddie P is in the bathroom of his granny's basement.
Oh.
You don't know.
You should write to Maddie P and tell him about the Amazon.com and how he could get new equipment if his listeners shop through the Amazon tab.
Yeah, no.
Aww.
Maddie P is on his own. He's getting plenty of publicity from Ray Don Chong.
Maybe he's in a bomb shelter.
I don't know, but he sounds absolutely awful. Not as bad as Ray Don Chong, but there you go.
Do we know any B-level actors who can insult someone famous so we can have them on our show and become famous?
John Alston? No, John Alston is like an E-level actor.
Dang, yo.
Yeah. I mean, he did have that part in Smoking Aces where he played reporter, but...
wow, I did not mean to unlock a...
Yeah. No, I'm not insulting John. I mean,
no, you
that's,
love him.
I do. I do love John. John's a newsman turned actor who's had a few roles here and there. But, I mean, when you live in Sacramento, there's only so much... He's been in more movies than I have. I'll put it that way.
That's true.
And plays and everything else. He's a very talented cat.
Okay.
Well, there's a number of our, you know, improv cohorts who have moved on to bigger cities. So when they get famous, we'll have them back and we'll get all the dirt.
We'll try. It's then they get busy.
Right.
It's one of those things. But I will tell you this. On a phone call, they will sound better than that.
Yay.
On our show. Pride myself in things that sound better than that. All right, that music can only mean one thing. It's time for Florida Corner, Mel. You ready?
No.
Well.
I was hoping we were going to run out of time and be like, whoa, no Florida today.
That rarely happens.
Sorry.
Hey, no matter what happens, don't change Josu Rodriguez's radio station. He is 40 years old. He was showering early Thursday morning in the Lake Worth warehouse where he lived. Yeah, he lives in a warehouse with a roommate who moved the radio dial.
Oh.
He got out of the shower immediately and confronted him nose to nose.
Naked, I assume?
I don't know. The roommate anticipated Rodriguez would hit him, so he shoved him away. This only angered him more. Rodriguez went for a machete stashed under a table in the middle of the room.
You know, your living room machete that you keep out just in case things get real.
Mm-hmm. Rodriguez swung, but the roommate ducked in time. Then Rodriguez brought the handle down on the roommate's cheek, bloodying it, deputies said. After that, they wrangled on the floor. The roommate knocked the machete away and ran outside where he called 911. Deputies asked Rodriguez what happened. He said, and I quote, "Nothing. We just wrestled on the floor. That's it."
I really want this whole thing to have been done with this guy naked, dripping wet, and with like shampoo horns in his hair, you know?
In the back of the cruiser, Rodriguez said, and I quote again, "I only had the machete because I was going to sleep in the woods for the night."
Oh, fair enough.
As you do.
Instead, he slept in the Palm Beach County Jail on $10,000 bond.
Oh, that's not the same.
Wow.
Hey, it's Florida Corner for a reason. But it's not just the men. No, no, no. The ladies have their time in
Yay.
Florida. That's right. When cops wanted to throw the book at Ashley Taylor Wright for suspected shoplifting, she allegedly responded by tossing her infant daughter back at them.
Oh, God.
So Sorry, that's horrible.
She's a 23-year-old resident of Pensacola, Florida. She allegedly tried to use her baby stroller to smuggle $260 worth of clothing from a dressing room at a Dillard's in Mary Esther, Florida. That's according to WTSP-TV. Right. Cops say she was able to get inside her Nissan Pathfinder where her husband was in the driver's seat and two other children ages 2 and 4 were sitting in the back. When a deputy approached Wright and tried to get her out of the car, she screamed at her husband to get in the car, according to police. She then allegedly grabbed a baby carrier and screamed at the arresting officer, "You will have to shoot through the baby to get me."
What the hell?
Good mommy.
She then allegedly ran from the car and through the car seat with the baby inside at the deputy. The infant was not injured.
She had two others, Ted. What is the problem?
Right.
I guess understand your ground. You can kill someone if you're scared.
And she
needed $260 worth of clothes. Come on, priorities.
All right, fair enough.
Cops say Wright attempted to run off, but was quickly captured by the officer after a brief scuffle during which she received a laceration to her face. That's according to localtv15.com. She was charged with child abuse and without bodily harm, petty theft, and resisting an officer without violence. The last charge inspired Miami New Times to make this observation, quote, "So apparently throwing a baby at someone does not count as resisting an officer with violence in the eyes of the law."
That is really weird to me.
It's because babies are so cuddly and sweet.
Yeah, if it were a ninja baby, then...
Oh, I wish it was a ninja baby.
Ninja baby.
Man. Ninja babies are awesome.
It's kind of sad. I don't want to think too much about what it must be like to be 2 and 4 and sitting in your car watching your mom...
Throw your little brother at the cops.
Or just say, "You'll have to shoot through the kids to get to me."
And you're...
It's so awful.
Dad ass doesn't care.
I should not be laughing, but it's like the worst mothering.
It's back to the speech the guy wrote on the Huffington Post. You know, you honor yourself and honor others. And I don't think she was doing that.
No.
Oh, I didn't know this was... Okay, never mind.
No, I don't know. And I don't know if she was black, white, Cuban, or Asian.
Because it's across the board. Do the right thing.
Yeah, there's terrible parents of every shade in the rainbow.
That was my point. Okay. I don't know what she looks like. It's just a matter of, it goes for everybody, what he said.
Yeah,
you gotta
absolutely.
Take a little responsibility.
But maybe she feels remorse now, and it was like a bad judgment in the moment. Because one time I was on the, you know, back in the day when you're in your 20s and your friends are making movies, like movies in quotations, that you're kind of like, come out to my house for the weekend and you're going to play this character and I'm going to make this film. I don't know. Did anybody do this?
No, my friends were really lazy and had like real jobs.
Okay. A lot of my friends made like horror movies. That's what everybody was making in Sacramento. And so it'd be like, come to my house and like run, down an alley and then we're going to put fake blood on you and you're going to die. And so I was in this horror movie of my friends and there was a gun in the scene and they had like a handgun that shot, I believe, BBs or something. It looked like a handgun, but it shot BBs. I don't know what that means exactly. But it freaked me out because the boys were being really cavalier with it and just kind of like, swinging it around and doing ridiculous stuff. And somebody fake pointed it at me and I was sitting next to my girlfriend on the couch and I dove behind her instinctually and used her body as a shield. And then like a minute later, I was like, I am such a jerk. Like, I just made my friend my shield when someone pointed a gun at me. Like, instead of protecting her, we're getting us both out of harm's way. So maybe this lady is sitting in her jail cell going, I can't believe I used my baby as a shield, because this stuff is instinctual.
But did you say, shoot Jenny, not me. Shoot Jenny, not me.
I did not. I just went, and like dove behind it. But I swear, that was like 10 years ago. And I still think about my cowardice. Like, other people are like, I will take a bullet for you. And I'm like, I wouldn't even take a BB. For my friend. Like, I was terrible.
And I was in contact with that filmmaker. We have a little bit of tape of Becca's inner monologue as this was happening. That's her diving behind her friend.
Yep. BBs are scary, y'all. You could shoot your eye out. Has anyone seen A Christmas Story? That's what it's all about.
Yeah, that's yeah, actually what came out because she was so scared was this.
No.
Oh my god, just very, very quickly. So at work today, come on, you fucker. I called a client and her grandmother answered, and that was the conversation I had. So I was like, is so and so here?
No.
Is she gonna be back later?
No.
Do you know what I'm saying?
No.
Do you speak English?
No.
Okay, I'll just call back later then.
No.
Okay, bye.
Oh, that's cute.
It's yeah. Mel's day at work.
That was it, exactly.
All right, let's wrap this puppy up.
The Nate Darling Show.
Welcome to our little town.
Small
town news.
Yeah. Small town news, going to Plattsburgh, New York. It is a small town, although technically a city. To the Press Republican, where Susan Tobias writes, A Pinch of Time.
Oh, you think you're going to wrap this up quick with a Susan Tobias piece?
Maybe.
Settle in all, everybody.
Fair warning, I got to pee. I might just have to leave because she drives me bananas.
That's, oh my God.
That's okay.
But she wants more kindness.
Hey, remember the song, The Wheels on the Bus Go Round and Round?
Yes, yes I do, I Susan. Do.
That tune kept going through my mind as I traveled on a tour bus to Washington, D.C. recently.
Oh.
I was going to our capital for the National Convention of the Daughters of the American Revolution.
Oh, geez.
Constructed of gleaming white marble. Their beautiful headquarters, Constitution Hall and Memorial Hall, cover a city block. There were about 40 women on the bus. One Hodar. That's a
what?
That's a husband of a Dar, which is a daughter of the revolution.
Oh.
Hodar.
Daughter of the American Revolution.
That doesn't sound Hodar. Right.
Wow.
And our bus driver, Bob. Just imagine the chatter of 40 women for 9 hours. The guys were gracious and didn't complain. If it came down to demographics, I would imagine the results would be some of the women were very wealthy. And some are just making it financially. Some don't have a care in the world, while others are laden with pain and hurt.
See, now, I'm going to fuck you up right now. I'm going to showbiz you, because this makes it sound like she's going to show conversations from people from all different slices of life, and everything she says is just bullshit, stupid old lady conversation across the board.
Their words revealed who had which situation.
No, they didn't! They fucking didn't!
As I pondered these quips of conversations, I got to thinking how much we are really all alike. Two women were talking about hot flashes. Quote, I wish they'd turn off the air conditioning. It's too cold. The other replied, I'm not cold. It's hot flash time. Put a sweater on.
But I don't have any food because I'm really hungry. Now it shows the difference and the similarity.
Wait a second. I didn't actually read this. So she went on a trip.
Yes.
To Washington, D.C.
Correct.
With this, like, famous organization that's been around for hundreds of years, and she is going to talk about bus small talk.
Yes.
She's not going to talk about the nation's capital
no.
or what? Okay. No. All right, Susan.
I'm going to skip ahead a little.
Okay.
Food was on many minds. Quote, I found this recipe on the internet that I think I'm going to use at Sherry's wedding shower. I think I'll adapt it, though, and add a few more fruits. Answer, Sherry's getting married? I didn't know that. Can I come? I'll make something.
What? You can't just come to a wedding without being invited.
After a quick call home on the cell phone, one woman said, Get a load of that nerve. My husband is whining because nobody's home to make supper. Doesn't he know there's a McDonald's just down the road? I should go way more often. It'll make him appreciate the suppers I make when I'm home.
They're all the same. They're all the same people. Nobody cares. There's no difference.
She just basically quoted her two friends sitting next to her for for 9 hours and then tried to pass it off as like a busload of women.
Oh, my God. Where's the diversity? I was waiting for it, Susan, but you didn't give me any fucking diversity.
I'm going to skip ahead again. I probably shouldn't admit this, but as you can tell, I love listening to people talk. I don't consider it eavesdropping. If they're in public talking out loud, it goes hand in hand with my other vacation pastime. People watching. Easy pastimes and free doesn't take a lot to make me happy. I saved this next to last paragraph to say happy birthday to our youngest daughter, Carrie Lee. Today's her birthday. She lives in Colorado.
I want to blow my brains out.
And it's hard to bake a birthday cake and have it delivered long distance. Carrie is a wonderful, thoughtful daughter, wife, sister, mother, grandmother. For all of her 41 years, 41-year-old grandmother, holy shit. She's been a happy and spirited person, always ready to give to others. Have a great day, honey. One last thought. Always be kind to each other.
How about a first thought?
The world needs more kindness.
See, and she always puts that, and then I always feel bad for making fun of her.
Yeah. I don't at all. I'm going to punch her in her little old granny waddle.
Yeah.
Oh, and then the Beatles come and make it all right.
Yeah. See, when you're in a small town, that's what's in your newspaper, kids. Why are newspapers dying? I don't know. Maybe that has one thing to do with the other. Anyway, hey, thanks for listening to this episode of the Nate Darling Show. A fresh new show for you on Friday morning. Free as always, bitches. All we ask is that you tell a friend about the show. Tell them how awesome we are. Tell them to give a listen. And if you're going to shop Amazon anyway, please go to NateDarlingShow.com first. Click the Shop Amazon tab and support the show without costing you any extra. Until then, adios, be kind, and we'll see you in a couple days.
Bye.
Bye.